Reading is from Luke chapter 1:1-4. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an ordinary account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that have been taught. Second reading, Acts chapter 1:1-8. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to those men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when you met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much. Let me just read one sentence from there again and we'll pray. "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit, that he can open our hearts to you. And so we ask that he will be doing that today for each one of us here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what are Mark and Ruth doing going to the middle of rural Ireland? It's a lovely place. I've been there. I love it myself. It'd be very nice to live there. But it's not what you usually expect from people like Mark and Ruth, who are extremely well-educated and talented. And Mark was a historian from Cambridge. Ruth was an accountant in the City of London with one of the Big Four. Heading out to rural Ireland is not what you would expect. But the thing is, they've already left behind many of the opportunities that they would have had. And now they're taking this even more unusual and bold step of heading to County Cavan to serve Christ there. Why would these two do such a thing? To the world's eyes, some would say it's a waste of their talents. Well, the answer is revealed in our two readings today. First, they have come to have a sure faith in Christ. And second, they've been convinced that God calls those of us who have faith to become witnesses, Spirit-filled witnesses in all nations. So I wonder, what do you make of these things yourself? Both those of you who are with us regularly at Holy Trinity and those who have joined us today as guests. What about your faith in Jesus Christ? How would you describe it? Is it not there yet? Uncertain? Or yes, there is a faith, but I don't feel very strong in it. Or a certain faith? As we were thinking about last week, where would you put yourself on that spectrum of 0 to 10? Or if you do have faith in Jesus, what would you make of this idea that we are called to be witnesses to him in all the world? What place in your life does supporting this mission have? Do you feel that you ought to share your faith with others? Do you think it's a priority? Would you be willing to give up your job or move to a new country to advance Jesus' mission better? Well, we're going to see these things by having a closer look at those two readings from today. Over the last couple of years, on and off, we've been working our way all the way through Dr. Luke's first book, The Gospel. And now we've come to his sequel, the book called Acts. Let's just remind ourselves first of Luke's big aim. Luke's plan is to give us sure faith. Luke's plan is to give us sure faith. If you're able to have your eyes on that first reading, I'm just going to briefly summarize what's going on there again. Luke wrote in verse 1 of his gospel, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us." So lots of people have written about the amazing life of Jesus and how he fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. Verse 2, "Just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the first, eyewitnesses." So Luke is saying there were people around who saw what Jesus did and taught with their own eyes. And then he says, "With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus." Now, Luke was a medical doctor, like Hannah, and he used his investigative brain to investigate what happened with Jesus. He did his careful research into those eyewitnesses, and then he wrote up his story precisely, and he's dedicated it to someone called Theophilus. And his aim in verse 4 is, "so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." That is Luke's goal, that Theophilus and you and me may have certainty about Jesus, that we may come to a sure faith in him. That's what Dr. Luke wants for Mark, Ruth, and Martha, and for you too. Now, I've lost count of the number of times someone has said to me something like this: "I base my life on scientific evidence, not on faith." And the assumption is that the two of those are opposites and they don't go together. But this is not what Dr. Luke thinks. He thinks that we can have faith in Jesus because there is lots of historical evidence for him. That's what Mark, the historian, and Ruth, the careful accountant, think as well. They are very intelligent and sober-minded people, as I'm sure you know. And yet they are so convinced by Jesus that they are doing something that looks crazy and going to the middle of Ireland. I suggest we ought to consider carefully what is driving them. And my experience is that when people do what Luke did and make a careful investigation of Jesus Christ, they too find the case rather compelling. I love the story of Frank Morrison. He was an advertising agent in the last century. And like many people, he thought that Jesus was an admirable spiritual leader. But he also thought that the supernatural parts of Jesus's story were basically made up. You know, the virgin birth, the miracles, and the resurrection. And he decided to do some careful research and write a book to show that the resurrection could not have happened. Well, he did his research, and his intentions were turned upside down. Yes, he did complete a book. It wasn't the one he intended. It was called Who Moved the Stone? That's the stone that we saw on the picture of Jesus' tomb. And the first chapter of this book is called The Book That Refused to Be Written. His careful investigation, in fact, convinced him that Jesus did rise from the dead, that he really is Lord and God calling us to come to him. Who Moved the Stone is a book that persuaded himself as he wrote it, and has helped many others, including me. In fact, after I'd been following Jesus for about 3 years, I was full of doubts and ready to throw the towel in. And I went and bought this book, and it really, really helped me to stick with Jesus. Or a more recent example of someone who's done a careful investigation is the actor David Suchet. He's from a largely Jewish family, but in 1986, at the age of 40, surprisingly for him, he started to read the New Testament. And he was gripped by its central message of love. And he thought, there's got to be something here. And he realized that he needed to do a thorough analysis. And this led to the real-life Hercule Poirot using his little grey cells to do an incredibly careful investigation. In fact, he describes how for the next 20 years, he did a very careful analysis. And it wasn't until 2007 that he says he came to total faith in Jesus. There are many others of us who've done such careful investigations. It's unusual to do it for 20 years. But we have come and concluded that we need to bow the knee before Jesus, our Lord and the Savior, who's died, as Mark says, to take away our sins. And in fact, it's my observation that people who do a really careful investigation, like David Suchet, conclude that it's true. In fact, those who investigate carefully and don't become followers of Jesus, it's not because they've concluded that it's not true. Rather, it's they recognize that Jesus calls us to bring our lives under his lordship. And sadly, that is too big a challenge for some. As the writer G.K. Chesterton put it, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and left untried. Well, dear friends, please don't make that mistake. We are here as people who admire Mark and Ruth. So let me challenge you to carefully look at what they believe, because you could be in for a wonderful, life-changing surprise. Luke's plan is to give us sure faith. But secondly, God's plan is for spirit-filled witnesses everywhere. God's plan is for spirit-filled witnesses everywhere. He wants to take people of faith, who've come to faith, and turn us out from ourselves to share the wonderful news of Jesus with everyone that we can. And God started this with a small group of guys called the apostles. That means the sent ones. So listen to the beginning of the book of Acts. Luke says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So Luke's gospel is about what Jesus began to do and teach on earth. His second book is therefore about what Jesus continued to do and teach now that he has gone to heaven at his Father's side. So Christianity is unique in that we believe our founder is still at work after his death. And his first group of spirit-filled witnesses were the apostles. These are the foundational leaders. That's why this book is often called the Acts of the Apostles. Because very soon, God will give to them his presence, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And that will empower them to go and tell everybody about Jesus. And it will be through these men that Jesus is going to continue to work and teach. And we see it in verses 3 to 5 of our second reading, how Jesus is teaching them and preparing them for this great mission. And he tells them to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. But the apostles have not yet, before the Spirit came, grasped the magnitude of God's plan. In verse 6, they ask, is he about to restore the kingdom to Israel? But Jesus' vision isn't local, but global. Let me read again verse 8, which is the mission statement of this entire book of Acts. Jesus said to them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The message of Jesus will spread out across the entire globe. And indeed, it has, hasn't it? Imagine a large stone dropping into the middle of a lake and the ripples spreading out across that lake. Well, the stone that causes the splash in Christianity is the death of Jesus and his resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit. Those great Easter events are the great stone that has resulted in ripples of the good news of Jesus spreading out across the whole world. And the book of the Acts of the Apostles that we're going to be studying here in church throughout this term is the story of those ripples as they go out first to Jerusalem and Judea, that's in chapters 1 to 7, then to Samaria, that's in chapters 8 to 12. Samaria is that region just next to Judea where the people are sort of half Jewish. And then out into the whole world and eventually arriving at the capital, Rome, as Gentiles, non-Jews, begin to turn to Jesus, as the Holy Spirit blows the wind of the wave, blows those waves out in power. But it all starts with the death and resurrection of Jesus. Humanly speaking, this tiny little event, how is that going to change the world? But it has. It's had earth-shattering repercussions. Some of you may be aware of the phrase, the butterfly effect. It's a scientific idea that a tiny little thing can have huge repercussions. The idea being that a butterfly flapping its wings could lead to a typhoon on the other side of the world. Well, that is what has happened when it comes to Jesus. A chain reaction was set up by his death and resurrection and the coming of the Spirit. And so now people from all over the world ever since have been turning to Jesus. The ripples have gone out and out. It might feel like a big ripple has passed us in the West and things are going down a bit Christianly here, but the ripples are going up big time in other places. The impact is still being felt today. So, dear friends, studying the book of Acts this term is going to be really exciting because this is about the dynamic start of the world's biggest social and religious movement. I wonder if you're a Christian here today, are you feeling a bit down spiritually? It's so hard, isn't it, after a year of the pandemic, of not being able to be together properly? Well, this book of Acts is the tonic we need. One famous preacher of the last century, Martin Lloyd-Jones, described it like this. He said this, live in that book. I exhort you, it is a tonic. The greatest tonic I know of in the realm of the Spirit. Luke's plan is to give us sure faith. God's plan is to turn people of faith outside themselves. So we copy Luke and tell others. Now, in the coming weeks, we're going to be seeing how the apostles have this special job in doing this. They lived with Jesus. They heard him teach. They witnessed his resurrection. They are foundation. They wrote the New Testament, God's holy word for us. But God's will is to create many countless people more who, though not apostles, will be Spirit-filled witnesses. And that's you, and you, and you, and me. And he wants to send us all out in the power of his Spirit. This is why Mark and Ruth are going to Ireland. They've long had the desire on their heart. And even though there's been a lot of Christianity in Ireland in the past, there is a great need today for people to hear the gospel of Jesus again. They have spent nearly 4 years telling people in Park Street and Frogmore about Jesus. And now they are fully trained up and ready to go and do the same in Ballyjamesduff, Ballymahue, is that the right way to pronounce it? And Kildrumfurton. Yeah, good. The rest of us may not be called to go to Ireland, but if we've come to faith, we are called to be Spirit-filled witnesses. This book of Acts shows us that this is what is on God's heart. His priority, his concern is for people everywhere to be redeemed out of this broken world, to be forgiven and come back to him. And he yearns for you, all of you. If any have not yet come back to him, he longs for you to know his love for yourself. And if you have, he longs for you and me to be reinvigorated to help others. If we've lost sight of God's vision, Acts can be our great tonic. The statistics show that most Christians know they ought to be part of God's great plan, but many of us struggle. We struggle to do it. We struggle to stay involved. Can I remind you, we had a wonderful Lent talk from a guy called Phil Page, where he encourages us to share our story with our friends. Tell them, like Mark and Ruth have done this morning, what has happened to you. To talk about Jesus, not about church, but about Jesus. And not to think that only people like vicars do that kind of thing, because actually you are probably in a better place to do it. Let me challenge you as we finish. This is to those of you who are Christians, not to think that others will do this sort of thing and that you are exempt from God's call, because God wants all of us to be involved. It reminds me of this teamwork story you might have heard in your workplace. It's called Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it. Nobody did. Somebody got angry about that. It was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it. And it ended up with everybody blaming somebody when nobody did what anybody could have. If we wait for other Christians to share their faith, then nothing will get done. And the church will wither and die in this place. And the ripples of God's work will go somewhere else. So let's not, Holy Trinity and friends, do that. Mark and Ruth have already set us a great example. I know that they don't find it easy to talk about Jesus. They've been honest about that. But they have found, after praying, that God has given them the power. And so, to the rest of us, let's not let the side down. Let's follow their example. Luke's plan is for us to have sure faith. And God's plan is for us to become Spirit-filled witnesses. But as for you guys, Mark and Ruth and Martha, we are sending you out as mission partners of Holy Trinity to Ireland. You go with our love. You go with our prayers. Remember these wonderful words this morning, and also the words that Jesus spoke to the apostles on that mountain. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, including the people of the county of Cavan, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you. We thank and praise you for the good news of Jesus that we've thought about this morning. Lord, I pray for each one of us in this room that you will help us to know how to respond. Not to me, Lord, but to you and what you might be saying to us by your Holy Spirit. Help us, if we need to do that careful investigation, you know, once and for all, to have a proper look at the claims of Jesus. And dear Father, might it be your will to open our eyes to faith, sure faith in you, and fill us with the joy of eternal life and a longing to share that with our world that so needs this good news. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.